Today's show is all about helping other people find their superpowers. We've got Francely Moise with us in the second hour talking about educational models. Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda has another guest in her segment. And I've got Jan Smith, Randall Webster talking with us about the upcoming Evening of Bach, Tallahassee Community Chorus. It'll be a great show, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Caps, toys to throw your money at, car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
My friend, today we are excited to have with us Francely Moise. He'll be with us in the second hour. His whole thing will remind you of some of the other conversations we've had with people like Vincent Hunt. And let's see, the academic doctor, we had him on recently. Recurringly, we are hearing from those who are creating innovative solutions for education, or we'll say alternate educational models, really having to do with how we accommodate the fact that for a lot of people, especially young people, students, some of the means by which we try to educate them don't seem to fit real well, at least not for them individually, and perhaps not as well for the culture that we have become and, more significantly, are becoming. So the advance of technologies, particularly digital technologies, yes, the manner in which the world is doing business, the manner in which we manufacture things and provide services, demand that we find ourselves with a population of those prepared to occupy those positions, those jobs, some of which don't even exist yet. Well, Francely Moise will help us, I think, in our conversations with him, talk about those ideas he has as to getting people to tap into perhaps, he talks about their superpowers. He talks about how you play the game. And in that gaming approach, he particularly relies on the idea of a chess game. So, you know, you make a move, life is over here, it makes a move. His intention is to get, especially students, young folks, to start thinking in terms of how those moves occur over time. What we learn from then the moves that our opponent or our companion makes, if that is life itself, we'll say life circumstances, how those rules continue to apply across various situations. So in various settings, you're still going to have to know how to navigate, how to continue to play this game so that you can succeed, so that you can achieve some specific goal or a set of goals that you've set for yourself. In any case, we'll get into that with Mr. Moyse. It looks like it'll be a worthwhile endeavor. He, in fact, is on the cover of our upcoming Tallahassee Family magazine. You want to be looking for that. We're distributing through a number of schools, the public library, professional offices. It's direct mail to a host of folks, community centers and churches, child care facilities. All over town you're going to find Tallahassee Family Magazine. It's a great publication. I think you'll enjoy it. We like to say it's the story about the real Tallahassee. The folks who do most of the work don't get a whole lot of glory and yet have some fascinating stories to tell us about who we are as a people, what makes Tallahassee the kind of place it is, and some of the innovation, like Francely Moyse bringing us ideas that challenge us in our thinking. Couldn't we all stand to be challenged a little further? I suppose so. Let's see, who else we got here? Oh, I've got Jan Smith, Randall West are talking about Johann Sebastian Bach. They have this performance coming up on the 30th. We're going to find out about that, the Tallahassee Community Chorus and the Tallahassee Bach Parley will be in concert on the 30th at Ruby Diamond. So we're going to learn about that here in just a moment. I suppose it'd be worthwhile to say at this moment, speaking of music, the Tallahassee Jazz and Blues Festival happening today and tomorrow. This is great stuff. They have their Pioneer Breakfast this morning. You may be there now. But so it is that we have an opportunity to participate in this. In fact, beginning this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll be broadcasting live on moosemagnificat.com, our radio station for such things. All local music, right? All the time, local artists performing for us. Well, we're going to be out there at the festival today and tomorrow. You can look for us there, Moose Magnificat. And if you're not able to be at the festival, you certainly can tune in on your mobile device, your cell phone or laptop, anywhere you can get access to the internet. You can listen to moosemagnificat.com. How cool is that? So we're pretty excited about it. We're going to bring you as much of those 2 days of festival as we can. I'll be out there personally on Sunday. They have me doing some of the work there as an MC for Sunday's portion of the festival. So that'll be fun. I'll look forward to seeing you there. We have another announcement here, too, from Leon County, hosting a Greenway Day. April 29th, right? Okay, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so that's next Saturday. And this is at the J.R. Alford Greenway. Okay, so you go out Pedrick Road there. Grab a pair of hiking shoes, it says, or a bike, or even a furry friend, and enjoy all that the Greenway has to offer. This family-friendly event is open to citizens of all ages and appeals to interests of the young and young at heart. Attendees will be able to enjoy a day of fun in the sun, discover one of the county's hidden treasures. So Greenway Day coming up on the 29th, courtesy of our friends at Leon County. I suppose it should be noted that we have recently spoken with Greg Bobinger, director of the Mag Lab, if you missed the show here a couple weeks ago. Now, last Saturday, we were at the Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival, so if you got to tune in then, wow, what a fun time we had there in our remote setup with Miriam Dady as our co-host and a bevy of lovely guests, including Lourdes Madsen and, let's see, who else did we have? Randy Breenan, Commissioner Brian DeLoge. It was a great, great show. And thanks for all who stopped by to say hi. And for you who are listening, well, prior to that, the week prior, we had Greg Bominger. He is the director of what we call the MagLab, the National High Magnetic Field Laboratory. Well, here's some news about Greg. Announced this week that he was has been selected or named a fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. a marvelous individual, long history of achievement in the sciences. And if you missed that conversation with Greg, you certainly can go online, as you can with any of our shows, and listen to that conversation with him. He is a fascinating person. Well, congratulations to Greg, Dr. Bowinger, for his being named Fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, one of 228 new fellows being inducted in this very prestigious association. Folks, this is what we love to celebrate around here. Glad you're a part of it today. It's going to be a great show as we bring you all the great things happening in Tallahassee. We've got this Jazz Blues Festival coming up throughout the day and tomorrow on moosemagnificat.com, and that'll be fun. And so I will encourage you to check out everything we've got at our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. You can email us topics@TallahasseeTalks.com if you have a guest or an idea for our show. Happy to entertain that. Encourage you to stay tuned throughout the hour and into the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Tallahassee Community Chorus is about to bring us into the world of Bach, or as my music teacher would say, Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, at this remarkable opportunity, Sunday, April 30th, 4 o'clock. I've got some very familiar friends with me here. Randall Webster.
Hello.
Who is the executive director of this fine organization, Tallahassee Community Chorus, and the always buoyant and seemingly undaunted Jan Smith, the president of TC Chorus, who, no matter how badly I abuse her, comes back over and over again. Jan, I'm sorry. Okay, I publicly want to apologize for the years of abuse you've had to put up with just to get your message out here. But this is a great opportunity. Tell us about the Evening of Bach.
Well, the Evening of Bach will basically feature the St. John Passion by J.S. Bach.
Right.
And which is the telling of the Passion through the Gospel of John.
I see.
It's all in German.
Wonderful.
We'll have a chorus of about 200 on stage. We'll have a smaller orchestra using some period instruments. The Bach Parley will also be joining us as the principal players in the orchestra.
Remarkable.
And we'll have 10 soloists on
okay.
stage, five of whom come from the chorus.
Wow.
So it's a big production.
Wow.
It's a wonderful story. It's very timely for the season
indeed.
Now.
Indeed. We've just celebrated Easter. And,
yeah.
And yeah.
And the music is beautiful. There'll be English super titles on the screens in Ruby Diamond so that people will know.
For people like me.
And yes.
Yes.
Well, most people
okay.
who will be able to understand what's being sung.
Huh.
And it's at 4 o'clock. Our partner for the concert is Big Bend Hospice. Their folks will
nice.
Be in the lobby. So it'll be a very nice evening. We start at 4. We should be over with, we have an intermission. We should be over with hopefully by around 6.
Cool. And this is at Ruby Diamond.
At Ruby Diamond Concert Hall
yeah.
on Florida State campus.
And I can buy tickets online.
You can get tickets online at tcchorus.org or by calling us at 850-597-0603.
Remarkable. Randall, when you signed up for this tour of duty, as the ED for this wacky group of songsters, right?
Yeah.
Did you have any idea that it was going to be this way, that they were just going to throw themselves headlong, head first, I guess, into this kind of production? This is a lot of work.
It is, but fortunately we have Dr. Andre Thomas directing the group, and he can manage 200 plus people.
He's your ace, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's remarkable. I didn't really have much background in choral music prior to this position. I sing blues and jazz and soul, but I'm learning a lot, how to treat my voice a little bit better through vocal exercises and other things, and but also appreciating the music. It just is so awesome, especially this particular piece for this concert. It's gorgeous. It's spiritual. It's something that should not be missed. It really will make an impact on people.
That's my observation. And for those like you who have been in and around music professionally, or those of us who would aspire to such things, you think about somebody singing a song. Okay, well, that's not an uncommon thing. But when you start looking at choral music, it is in a category by itself. That is a different experience altogether.
The precision is really something that, as a musician, I'm just amazed by, because every little syllable, every little pronunciation has to be accurate and in unison. And you've
got 200 plus voices,
yes,
bringing this together.
Yes.
And the orchestra.
And the orchestra.
Bach Parley, right? Tell us a little bit about Bach Parley.
Well, you know, the Bach Parley's been in town for quite a while. They primarily play Baroque type music. They do their own several concerts during the year. They'll have one coming up on June the 4th. They typically perform at St. John's Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. And they play on period instruments. And Valerie Arsenault, who is their music director, will conduct a pre-concert lecture for us in room 060 of Ruby Diamond at 3:30 before the concert. So
marvelous.
Folks who come early, who will open the box office that day at 2 o'clock, and folks who come early and want to learn a little bit more about this piece can attend the free pre-concert lecture by Valerie. And she's very good. Typically in their concerts, Valerie will talk about the pieces they're playing.
What a marvelous idea.
It's a great way to learn a little bit about Bach.
So, Brian, you don't have to be sitting there like a big dumb schmuck and not know what's going on here. You can learn all about the piece, and I would imagine then really enjoy it a lot more because you're going to understand more about the composition itself and maybe some of the musical intricacies and such.
Right.
And the libretto, for heaven's sakes. You might even know what these people are singing about without looking at the...
at the super titles.
You have this concert coming up. Now, this is on the 30th, which is a Sunday.
Yes.
Does that mark the end of the season?
Yes, that's our last concert of the 29th season.
Yeah.
And over the summer, singers from the chorus will travel to Ireland and participate in the Limerick Sings.
I know that's
going to
make Randall very upset. He doesn't like Ireland. Do you like Ireland?
I've been there a few times.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm teasing here. Yeah. So are you leading the tour? Are you like... No.
Actually,
but are you going to be able to go? I hope you will.
I'm planning to meet up for the big concert in Limerick. But I will be over in Europe touring with my band.
Ah. So. Okay. Well, now I have a request. This is for the Moose here.
Okay.
I want you to tour a few of the pubs, just academically, okay? And try to bring back the best Pimm's Cup recipe that you can find.
I'll see what I can do.
That would be greatly appreciated. Folks, look, just to recap a little bit here, an evening with Bach at celebrating... the Tallahassee Community Chorus and the Tallahassee Bach Parley, bringing us St. John's Passion by Johann Sebastian Bach, or Johann, if you will permit me, Sunday, April the 30th at 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond. At 2 o'clock, there's this sort of sneak peek preview that is about learning more about the piece. Is that
at
fair?
At 2 o'clock, the box office opens. At 3:30, there's
at
the
3:30.
Sneak peek preview. Yes.
Okay. Folks, just go to the website. Don't trust me, because I'll screw it up. tcchorus.org is the website. You can buy your tickets, find out more about this wonderful opportunity. Congratulations, my friend, on a great season.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And thank you for being with us this morning. Folks, that's what we've got for you. TC Chorus, Tallahassee Community Chorus, now in their 29th season. Wow. And have a great time in Ireland. We'll be looking forward to having you back.
We will.
Okay, folks. Stay with me. I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
With another installment on her topic of the resilient life, here's Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda.
I am Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda, and I'm back this week, and we're talking to my good colleague and friend, David Proctor. And we're once again exploring this topic that I'm fascinated with, which is resiliency. What makes a resilient life? What makes an organization more resilient? What makes a country more resilient, a community? We're all going to face adversity. You know, that is just, we come into this life and that's what happens. But I think the idea is, how do you then get up and over those obstacles that are laid in front of you, or that sometimes, unfortunately, you create yourself? So, David, how are you today?
I'm fine, Michelle. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, we've known each other for a while, and I was trying to remember when we first met, and what occurred to me is I was reading The Best and the Brightest by David Halberstam.
Oh, yeah.
And I was focused on the Vietnam War, and I think you had a class on the Vietnam War. You were teaching about it.
I do remember that. You came and sat in, and I thought, well, because it's like business law that you teach and
right?
so on.
And,
I thought, well,
yeah,
how terrific, and
ethics, yeah.
that she's broadening herself and coming over to a good traditional history class. I liked that. Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, and one thing you didn't maybe know about me is at one point in time, I thought about becoming a history professor.
Excellent.
I mean, so I'm no expert by any means, shape, or form, but I love reading in the genre of history. Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful. And so that's what you teach.
I do, Michelle. And I like your topics here. What I would like to say about liberal arts in general and history in particular is it really is relevant, and it does tie into so many things. Now, you're talking about resiliency. Well, the fundamental benefit of taking American history or Western Civ or world is it engages you with the world. It lets you understand how the world works politically, socially, and I think everyone in today's world needs to be an engaged citizen, at least at some level.
Yes.
You don't have to march all the time and run a lobbying organization or whatever. No, you don't need to do that. You need to be informed enough and not just hyped up on the latest news,
right?
But having a deeper understanding of American history in the world. And if you know those things, you'll realize, hey, I can write a letter to my legislator. I can vote on this issue in an informed way. I can go speak at my local club or organization about a civic matter. And you can do so intelligently and thoughtfully and in a way that brings people together, not creating ever more polarization, which, as Lord knows,
we've
got too much of that.
Yeah.
And I honestly think, Michelle, that a lot of the polarization you see and a lot of the division, so much of it is unnecessary. If people knew their history better,
yes.
and their culture and humanities, they'd go, you know what? We really have a lot more in common, and we all want similar things.
And some of this has happened before, or similar things, or things
Precisely.
Even worse, and we have survived. You know, I've been reading about the Gordon riots, actually. In
sure.
I read a Charles Dickens novel mm-hmm. every Christmas,
sure.
and sometimes it takes me a little longer to finish it than others. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading Barnaby Rudge, which is one of his only two of Dickens's. Historical novels,
right.
and it's all about the Gordon riots. And you know, there have been all kinds of things that we have fought about as human beings over the years, and we you know emerge from it, and maybe we can learn that it's not so much about the fighting; it's more about the problem solving.
Problem solving is so important. And I think it when people know history, like the examples you just mentioned and so many others, everyone just sort of relaxes and calms down and goes, okay, wow, we've been here not just once, but many times.
Right.
And there have been situations when you really understand World War I and World War II and Korea and Vietnam, you realize, okay, take a deep breath. There's been times much worse than this as far as division and warfare and conflict. And once we calm people down and give them historical perspective and knowledge, they can get past all the tribalism and sort of the Gators versus Seminoles, if you want to use a local.
Right, or the red versus the blue,
yeah,
or the globalist versus the not globalist, or whatever, yeah.
Listen, in the Byzantine Empire, in Constantinople at the time of Justinian in the 500s, there were these hyper-partisan groups that followed the chariot races. And they became so extreme and tribal that they were rioting and killing each other and almost destroyed the city.
Wow.
Because they were totally caught up in their own group and their own tribe. And Emperor Justinian's ability to suppress that was important. But they had utterly lost any sense of what the Byzantine Empire should be or could be or might be. And it was, and their colors were reds and greens. They
right.
had, and they had colors.
Okay.
So, and that's history's full of this, and people get so caught up in the moment that they lack perspective, and you can't solve problems if you're in a tribal foxhole.
No, it's right.
There's
and you mentioned something. I think one of the reasons I love to read history mm-hmm. is I find answers. I find ways to, you know, try to figure out
right.
problems going forward. But it also calms me.
Oh, it does.
It really does. It's something about history that really has a calming effect, mm-hmm. even though you're reading about wars
sure.
or, you know, the Gordon riots were horrible in
yes.
London.
Yes.
You know, it was the Protestants
right.
attacking the Catholics.
Right.
And just crazy mobs going through mm-hmm. the city of London. And it was very scary. But reading about that somehow,
exactly.
you know, because it's not happening now, and thank God, you know, and,
right.
and that kind of thing. You can read it in the comfort of your easy chair. So when you're teaching students, I think, I hope that they get a sense of that.
We try hard. It's a big focus in my classes is developing perspective and relaxing. I honestly think today people are just as smart as they've ever been. Students are plenty smart. Nobody's dumb or anything like that. But the culture has kind of conspired with the explosion of electronic media and video games and everything else. And there's nothing inherently wrong with any of it.
Right.
It's all a matter of dosage and perspective.
Perspective, I think
yeah.
that's exactly the word.
And I think with all that, you know, you can flip on Facebook and here comes somebody shared a hyper-partisan site from the left or the right with a vast string of frantic comments, you know.
Right.
And you realize, okay, people, you're so caught up in the moment of this issue that you've overstated it and you're worried too much about it and you can't think and you can't work with the other side because of it.
And you forget that this was happening in the United States
yeah.
since our inception.
Exactly.
I mean, since our birth. I mean, you know, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had
right.
a great
right. Right.
difficulties in the press.
Imagine if they had had Facebook and the American Revolution. You probably, you know. Exactly. And so what we do at TCC, and of course, Michelle, you're involved in this too with what you teach,
right.
but particularly with history, is I work my whole class through, look at these previous examples. Look what happened. Look how people got through it. Look at the solutions that worked and look at what didn't. And let's all learn from that and bring that to our current day problems. And don't demonize the other side, whichever part you're on. Look, there's ideas on both sides. There are extremists on both sides. But instead of looking for difference, look for commonality.
I think that's...
And if you don't know history, that it doesn't even occur to you to do that is the thing. You see the
right.
issue of the day. Okay, somebody said this or some budget was reduced here or there, and you just flame out when if you know history, you can say, okay, we should emphasize this. I can work with this. If those Democrats over there are fine, these Republicans, we agree on an issue. Michelle, I'm currently working on the whole issue of a question of the general education curriculum in Florida community colleges. And we'll just stay focused on community colleges since there's 28 of them, and that's
what or state colleges, as we have now started to call them. Although we might go back to the community college.
They may change it back, right. But you know, the 28 state community,
yes.
Whatever you want to call them. There's a general education core, and for the longest time, from when the colleges were built, most of them after World War II in the 50s and 60s, you know, St. Pete was very old at 1927, but most of them came on after World War II. A two-semester history sequence was just standard. I mean, it was like, what, you know, of course.
Right.
Traditionally, it was Western Civ. If you look at Tallahassee Community College's very old first catalogs from 1966, they had Western Civ. Then American history became very popular. Both of them are extremely useful.
Absolutely. And we're going to have to break here,
sure.
But then we'll come back to this because this is very good for parents mm-hmm. to know, students to know, for
yes,
all
for
of
sure.
us to know.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, David.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I'm Michelle Raywinkle-Vasselinden. I'm back with David Proctor, our history professor for today. We've been talking about how this affects education in Florida. When I was in the legislature, I had a bill to mandate two classes, 6 hours of American history. I thought it was really important. I thought, as you were saying, mm-hmm. that we're losing a little bit of perspective. We're losing knowledge about our own nation.
Right.
And, you know, when you see the comedians, they interview young people and,
right,
you know, and they
right.
get all these crazy answers. Well, I thought, you know, let's try to fix that. We don't want that. That if you don't use what we have, you'll lose it,
exactly.
You know, is very simply. So, well, you were talking about that. And so what are some of your ideas?
Well, Michelle, thank you so much. And instead of sending comedians out to make fun of people,
right.
why don't we do something constructive about the problem? The community colleges are where a lot of Floridians get their exposure to the liberal arts. Florida is sort of unique in that way, in that a lot of people start their Associate of Arts in community college and transfer to universities. In many other states, the community colleges are much more focused on workforce and vocational, which are terrific programs.
Absolutely. Just, we need people to have jobs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jobs
and
are
then
wonderful.
They can pick up a history
yeah,
book.
We love
yeah,
jobs.
You're right, yeah.
And, you know, Florida is just sort of unusual in the way that its community colleges are built around. So since that's where a lot of Floridians get their exposure to history, we need a solid history core. That was understood for a long time, but there's many competing pressures, and there's no villain in the story.
Right.
We need a study skill.
Unless it's
class.
Time, you
Unless
know.
It's just the time. You know, and of course it costs.
Cost,
so in
yeah.
the late 90s, the legislature put a 60-hour cap on the AA. Well, there's legitimate arguments for that cost and time and so on. But of course, that squeezes things, and something's got to squeeze out. Other things have pressured it. And the legislature tried to sort of help matters by mandating parts of the core. They created a social science core, but they kind of got anthropology and psychology, all terrific subjects, but they crammed so many things in there that history, again, gets squeezed. So we just need to get back to realizing that our students need a good full coverage of American history from the discovery to the present. You
yeah,
can do it
absolutely.
In two semesters.
Yeah.
And one thing I'd like to say is sometimes legislators or others, activists worry, well, maybe the history professors are all too liberal or they're not doing this or they don't cover that or whatever. Honestly, in my 30 years in the business, most historians are very centrist. They're non-ideological. They just are passionate about history, and they know the value of it, and they want to get kids interested. They want to get students interested in it, and they want to build that interest, and not nobody's up. Very few people are up there with some kind of agenda,
right,
or ideological agenda. I've known conservatives,
and you can build critical thinkers by asking them,
exactly,
questions and having open-ended,
sure,
discussions about things that happened in history.
You make everybody feel welcome, whether you're conservative or liberal, or maybe in the case of many students, you've never even thought about what you are.
That's right.
So, and that's particularly true of community college history instructors. We're about engaging students and getting them interested. I've met very few that have some sort of agenda that they want to get across.
And I think if you put out a love of history,
exactly,
and looking back,
exactly,
and a love of the perspective, mm-hmm, and the idea, because there, I've looked very very often back at history to find tools to in, mm-hmm, for the legislature, and even there are histories of specific subject matters.
Absolutely.
Like music,
yeah,
history. Mm-hmm. You know, musicians know about the, mm-hmm, the composers and the great artists, and I think that's really important for people to understand that that has an important piece in the whole historical perspective. We're not just studying politics and,
right,
war and that kind of thing, although some focus on that. But, mm-hmm, there's history all across the board, and if you have a love,
sure,
of history and build on that, I think that's really important.
History of science, too. I mean, you read about,
yes,
the upcoming science march.
Oh, absolutely.
So honestly, even if you're a scientist, you still need to know history, and you need to know the history of science and understand how you got from the scientific revolution with Galileo and Copernicus to modern biochemistry and issues of climate change, global warming, ocean acidification, foods, you know, all the additives and chemicals in foods. If you're going to have any sort of intelligent understanding of those things, you can't, I mean, it's great to be a scientist and have your field and all your research, but you're going to need that historical perspective to,
absolutely,
make sense of it.
Yeah, the word of the day, I think, is perspective, people.
Yeah,
and you know, Mike and I watch Jeopardy as often as we can.
Right,
and
right.
Yesterday there was a question or a clue, you know, what about DDT. The,
right,
DDT was supposed to be the miracle,
sure,
pesticide, and then was found in the 70s to be,
right,
awful. And that gives us a perspective on, you know, things that we're thinking, mm-hmm, of now that might be tremendous and
sure.
Or what are we missing,
right,
now? And to bring Jeopardy, it makes me think of the Brain Bowl.
Oh, yes.
And
Brain
you
Bowl.
You are the coach of the Tallahassee Community College Brain Bowl, and you just won a wonderful award of Coach of the Year of the state organization.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes,
what is that state organization?
Well, it's the Florida Community, the Florida College System Activities Association.
Okay.
That's a new,
wow,
name, because,
yeah,
we used to be the community college at the SCCA.
Right, so they try to get it all
now
in there.
No, I can't say,
yeah,
that. So we're Florida College System Activities Association. It's this precisely the same organization it had under the old name. It just governs Brain Bowl, forensics, Model UN.
Wow, so you're a coach of the year, not just of Brain Bowls, but of...
I'm actually just a Brain Bowl.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
But the organization handles all those student activities and the competitions between the community colleges.
That's wonderful.
So I'm in the Brain Bowl section.
Good for you. And you've been doing that for a long time, and I think that's a great activity for students to compete in, because if you're not an athlete, because I always think...
Mm-hmm.
Competition is great,
yeah,
and it makes people better.
Sure,
and
as
speaking of resiliency, you get knocked down, you lose, mm-hmm, whatever, you pop back up. You learn to sort of overcome obstacles.
Sure.
And I think Brain Bowl is another place for students to compete and have those,
right,
those skills. And you had an interesting story that happened. TCC, Tallahassee Community College, actually was got a position. What were they ranked this year?
This year, we're fourth in the state of the community,
wow,
college.
Wow, that's great.
Teams. Last,
congratulations,
year, we were second in the state. We did even better last,
okay,
year.
Okay. Well.
And that's coming off of a drought where we hadn't been able to get into the state community.
Okay.
So I'm,
okay,
whatever's been working the last couple of years, I'm really going to try to replicate it the next few.
Okay.
But Brain Bowl is great because the students, it forces them to be broad-minded. The format is you get math, science, history, humanities, English, social science. So you're hit with good in-depth questions. It's not trivia, but it's deep knowledge questions,
mm-hmm,
and you're given 5 or 10 seconds to answer depending on particularly the math questions, you may get a little more time. But it makes them all connect everything. They go from solving a math equation to knowing about the, something about the Declaration of Independence.
Wow, that's very good.
To knowing about the Pieta or to African cultural history. You just don't know what's going to hit you. And the more
it's a confidence builder for young people.
It is so good. When they can answer these questions, it builds their confidence. They know they have general knowledge. I'm a huge fan of general knowledge. And knowing it,
I am too.
Whatever situation you go into, you always feel like, well, I know something about this, so I'm not just utterly, oh gosh, you know. And so it's valuable, and especially in today's world.
Yeah, and it's great. And I appreciate your dedication to our students, and I think, you know, in helping mm-hmm. them get these skills and learn this knowledge. Because it doesn't matter what you do in life, whether you end up being an Uber driver, a dishwasher, right. or whatever. Well, thank you, David. Thanks for coming today, and thank you for talking with me and having this conversation. And thank you for what you do for our students, you know, the dedication mm-hmm. that you show.
Thank you, Michelle. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a great day.
Trucking Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hard Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017 serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Okay, so here we are, the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, navigating our way through this rather magnanimous river of delight, this marvelous journey that we find ourselves engaged in from week to week, meeting all of these fine people along the way. That's how it goes around here. You know, if you got a show like we have, you know, you're not only doing this live, but then you're available online after the fact, or you can subscribe to a podcast then that is automatically downloaded for you. Remarkable stuff. A good way to keep in touch with topics at hand that you're particularly interested in. Certainly hope you will stay with me here in this second hour as we bring you continuing news and information, especially with this lovely guest. Francely Moyse is going to be with us for the rest of the show. I don't want to steal my own thunder, I suppose would be the expression. I really want you to stay tuned because this guy has a very, I would call it affable, a very attractive, very engaging way of being with people, and well-suited for the craft that he is about as an educator. And being able to bring to us complex ideas in a more understandable fashion and kind of breaking it down, as good teachers do, into its fundamental parts. And so we can better appreciate where he's trying to help us arrive, where he's taking us on his part of the journey, particularly in relation to discovering your own superpowers. You never knew you had them. Well, Francie's going to help you find them, and that's why we've got him coming shortly. He'll be here in short order during the rest of the show. I mentioned earlier we were at the Chain of Parks Art Festival this last Saturday. So good to see so many of you out there and enjoying it. Had so many great conversations then with folks that were on the show. Kelly Dozier, the festival director. What an amazing effort they put forward and the job that they do. Folks, you have to take into account the fact that this festival alone it brings not only economic benefits to the community. I mean, millions of dollars for people who come in out of town, stay here in the hotels, eat at the restaurants, et cetera. It all happens. And the kind of notoriety that this generates for the community. I mean, this is one of a select few festivals of its kind in the nation that attracts such attention. Highly prized, a vetted art show. And I talked with so many folks that were there that day, last Saturday, for the very first time. Some of them were our own guests who said, man, I just never realized there was so much here. So, you know, this is kind of how it goes around this town. There are lots of very exciting things that happen. And, of course, that is our motivation. We find it remarkable that as we talk with so many different people, we find all this going on. Anywho, I wanted to also bring to your attention the idea that this time of year, we are particularly sensitive to the needs of children who find themselves in trouble because they're hungry. It's not enough food. And the food charities that help to supplement those hungry kids with food that they need, they find themselves in trouble. So you have this sort of unfortunate confluence of circumstance. Kids that are getting out of school over the next several weeks here, not getting the benefit of school lunches or breakfast, they find themselves on the short end of that situation. Meanwhile, food charities find themselves with fewer donations. And so there's this sort of perfect storm in which the demand is up and the supply is down. And that just spells disaster. So many years ago, we launched the Tallahassee Food Challenge as a reminder to all of us. It is simply an advertising campaign in the simplest terms. But as a campaign, its intention is to simply remind us, you know, folks, you can make a cash donation that can translate into hundreds of dollars worth of food. I think the folks over there at America's Second Harvest, the Big Ben, they have like a 4-to-1 ratio. So if you give them $10, they can buy $40 worth of food with that money. It's remarkable. And of course, food donations are always welcome. Now, to make this easier on all of us, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is a website that you can visit. And as you do so, you're going to see a listing there of various food charities around the community where you can go and make your contribution, bring a food donation, right? Take it directly to them. You'll also find a helpful listing of various items that are in short order. And people often think that, I don't know why it is that we all want to give canned corn. So this will help you be a little bit more discretionary about the canned food items or non-perishable food items that you want to contribute. That's a good thing. So there's a listing there. And, of course, there are needs beyond the need for food. But those that are listed there for you are highly recommended by those who are in this business providing charitable help. And you've got people like Echo and the Tallahassee Food Pantry, Catholic Charities, they're all out there doing their very best to supply the needs of hungry kids. So let's be a part of that. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Thanks to our sponsors who are making that all possible. They are the ones who fund this campaign as they do so faithfully every year. We should also mention that this is the weekend of the Tallahassee Jazz and Blues Festival. Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, is going to be there broadcasting this afternoon and again tomorrow on Sunday. So you'll be able to listen in. If you're unable to attend, you can go to moosemagnificat.com on your phone, on your laptop, on your computer. And by going there, you're going to be able to listen in to what's going on. We'll be broadcasting from 2 o'clock until 5 today and tomorrow, bringing you local artists, people like Jerry Thigpen Trio and others who are performing at this remarkable festival that is now better than 20 years old. I think 27 years they've been doing this. Del Suggs is their music coordinator out there. He's done a fantastic job lining everything up. It's our pleasure to be able to do it. So I encourage you to tune in and listen to the Tallahassee Jazz and Blues Festival coming to you from the Tallahassee Museum. Wow, what a great crew they are. Russell Dawes and all of the people that are working so hard. We're going to talk more about that in the future. We had Russell on this last Saturday talking with us about the museum and about this festival. So I hope you're staying in tune with all of that. We'll be looking for you out there. We're going to continue here with more of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, so stay with me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Francely Moyes is an educator, a motivational speaker, and entrepreneur. In his book entitled Chess for Life, Life for Chess, newly released, Mr. Moyes infuses chess with life skills to motivate and inspire individuals to achieve their goals and dreams. He advocates that the strategies that you and I learn from such serious play can be applied. They can be used in a compelling way to empower us and to educate people of all ages. Let's welcome to the show Francely Moyes. How are you, sir?
Great. Great to be
here.
Are
you all those things? Honored. Educator, motivational speaker, and entrepreneur. You claim all that?
I claim all that, and I'm working on adding more.
Okay. A pleasure having you with us. This book is your first publication,
That's correct. That's the first one.
Folks, it's available online.
It is.
How can we get a copy of this?
They can visit my website, thewinitiative.com. And you can also obtain it on any Amazon or Google or any other.
Any of those customary places where we might buy books.
That's correct.
And again, your website is?
TheWinitiative.com.
Yeah.
And
W being the operative word there in relation to winning.
Winning, exactly. Yeah. When I came up with the name for the company, I thought of W in two ways. In French, W means double V, which translates to double V.
I see.
And my company is based on helping people achieve their victories, both in their personal life as well as their professional life. When you bring both Vs together, you get the W.
See,
so life is about that balance.
That's clever. I'm never good about that sort of thing.
No, we all just pick it up in different ways.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm glad you're the one doing that.
Hey.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since 2009, but I've been an educator. I actually moved to Tallahassee in 2000.
Really?
And from that point, I've been an educator because I was attending Florida A&M University at the time.
And that's what brought you here originally?
That's what brought me here. And I, as a job, I was a substitute teacher with Leon County Schools.
Interesting.
So I've always been in the educational arena. I was obtaining my degree in health science, pre-physical therapy.
At FAMU.
At FAMU. But education always had a draw.
I see.
So most of my jobs here in Tallahassee was in education. I was either working with...
High school, middle school? High school, you said.
From pre-K all the way to college.
Really?
Yes. I worked at FAMU New Beginnings Daycare Center.
Wow.
So I worked with the little babies and helped them matriculate. Some of them have graduated from college.
You're a human developer.
I'm watching the human development process.
Wow.
So all the way to college, my college students, and I still have students who text me from time to time, let me know how they're doing.
Very cool.
So it's been an honor to watch the development of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And the development process of them achieving their goals
and
dreams.
You know, the Chamber of Commerce would love to know the answer to this question. What has kept you here? You come to FAM and then decide to stay.
You know, I call it the Tallahassee bug. Once you get bit, you end up staying.
Okay.
So that, to me, is in essence my answer. It's a great city, great community. When you tag along and meet the right people, then you fit. And you understand the dynamics. We talked about this earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a group of people working together to achieve success. Mm-hmm. And essentially, that's what chess is about.
Yeah, let's go to that. You've entitled this book, Chess for Life, Life for Chess.
Yes.
Again, you like wordplay, don't you?
I do.
So tell us how that all works for you.
Working as an educator, I worked at NIMS Middle School at the time, was the after-school coordinator, working with students, helping them to achieve, you know, extra help after school, essentially keeping them on track. I decided to use chess as a way to encourage them to stay out of trouble. Hey, if you do well, then you can play.
Right.
Because that was what I used in high school.
Right.
A teacher pulled me aside and said, hey, come to lunch and play chess with us. Mm. So I started using it with my kids, and in the process, I found all of the life skills that were connected with it. Mm. Knowing your purpose, knowing your passion, understanding your destination, knowing your identity, all those pieces started to add up. Mm. So it worked well with my students. Mm. So I decided to put it together in a book and started
cool.
Teaching students and teaching adults what it takes in order for them to win.
I noticed that the book itself has that sort of primer kind of feel.
Yes.
You know, that it's a workbook.
Yes.
There's even sections here or pages where, for example, you're asking the reader to identify your role models, mentors, and peers who can help you reach the next level. So it's intended to be a challenging sort of thing, not just you know, some casual reading.
That's right. I wanted to demystify chess.
Hmm.
Most people would look at chess and they're afraid, like, "Ooh, that's a lot. I'm not sure if that works for me." And I want people to really understand that it doesn't matter if it's chess or physics or getting a new job.
Hmm.
You need to demystify it, figure out a strategy. Find out who can help me or how can I help myself obtain that victory.
So you're saying then if you break down chess into its sort of component elements.
That's right.
You can be not mystified, but rather learn the game.
That's
and
right.
Play it.
And play it.
And you can take that kind of strategy then with all of these other anxiety-laden, mysterious sorts of things in life, right?
That's right.
How to be a father.
You That's
know?
Right.
How to be a mom.
That's right.
How to be a husband. How to be an employee.
That's right.
Yeah.
So all of it works. But the one thing I add with all of my workshops is taking the challenge.
Hmm.
How do I take that challenge? So everything that you just described, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be an employee, how to be a student, all of those are challenges. And we can't be afraid to take the challenge. So demystifying the objective gives us that opportunity to say, hey, I'm gonna take on that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I may win, I may lose, but at the end of the day, I'll learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And if I learn something, then I can come back and play it again the next day.
We're talking with Francely Moise. He is the author of this new book, Chess for Life, Life for Chess, local entrepreneur, speaker, motivational speaker, educator. Glad to have you with us. Can you stay on? We want to keep you here for a little while
longer. I'll be here with you. Yes, sir.
Great, because I've got some more for you. Folks, we love talking with people like Francely because, you know, well, it's just a lot more interesting than me sitting here by myself. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. and it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with Francis Moise, written this new book, Chess for Life, Life for Chess. It's online. You can order it at his website, which is the WInitiative.com. Simple enough. The W being the letter in the website address that refers to winning. Okay, so that's the W. Winning at life. Not unlike this metaphor you're using, winning at chess. Complicated, yes. Detailed, yes. Requires some stamina, doesn't it?
We have to
stay with it long enough until we really get at it. Here's the question I have for you in relation to how we apply such things. The rules of the game,
right,
in chess are fairly stable. I mean,
that's right.
Chess is chess.
Right.
The rules in life seem to fluctuate because what it means to be a dad,
right,
for me now, and I mean in 2017, not just my personal life. I have four adult children, and so my role has changed by virtue of the fact that they're no longer children.
That's right.
But even now, I am quite different than the father I knew or the fathers that I knew when I was a young adult. So with those changing rules, changing expectations of, let's say, the roles of fathers in families.
Right.
How do you help people accommodate that?
Well, number one, we have to know that it's a strategy. And that's the point of the game. You always have to strategically think, what's the next thing that I can do? Or how can I learn? Or what did I learn from the past game so that I can be better prepared for the next game? So
it's not about knowing the rules. It's knowing that you're in this game and then being able to anticipate where those changes
It's about both. It's okay. About both. You need to know the rules and you need to know how to engage, but you also need to be strategic because, as you stated, sometimes the rules change.
Yeah.
And when the rules change, I need to know when they change, how they change, and how can I use that change to still achieve my goals and my dreams.
See, and my question is, how do I know that those changes are valid, I guess I would say, or that I should pay attention to those changes in the rule? And here's my example.
Go ahead.
So I watched my father and sister when she was a teenager. I have one sibling, 7 years older, right? Saw her as an adolescent constantly fighting with my dad. I mean, there's would be what a therapist would refer to as a conflict habituated relationship,
right,
in which the whole point of the relationship is to be in conflict all the time. It's what held them together, curiously enough. But so that was my model for me of my father parenting her. So when I came into my adolescence, then 7 years later, we'll say, I had learned a few things.
Right.
And I learned how to be compliant.
Right.
I learned how to not be her.
Right.
And so my relationship was, I would say, less tumultuous.
Right.
Right. Fast forward to my adulthood and my fathering of four teenagers in succession. Yeah.
Right.
By that time, some 40, 50 years later, the culture I'm living in is not the culture I grew up in.
Right.
And there's a lot of anxiety for me in that I'm parenting the way I was parented, but it's not working.
No, it's not going to work because it's like you're playing the other person. As I'm playing this person over and over again, they start to know, you know, how to play. And they start to work against me. So now that they know, okay, he's going to move here, he's going to move here, I'm going to take that challenge and I'm going to block him. I think time does the same thing. We know what's going to happen. So now we're just going to keep adding in other obstacles, other challenges. And I think as a parent, especially in this day and age, you have to be prepared for the new challenges that are to come. Because if it was going to be the same game in the 60s, then we'd be playing the same game.
That's right.
So it's these new challenges that await us. Ironically, the old challenges help us to prepare for these new challenges that we face. So the relationship you had with your dad, yes, it was different from the relationship your dad had with your sister.
Yeah.
Because you're two different individuals.
Right.
But you learned from her. You learned from her gameplay.
Yep.
And then played your own game. And then when you became a father, you took on information from your dad's games.
Yep.
And you started applying them. Maybe a change here or there because you are not exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it prepared you for the time that you had to be the father that you have become. Now, your kids, they're going to have to play a different game as well. They're going to take information from your past experiences and hopefully use those to prepare them and to put them in better positions. That is my favorite piece is the pawn. And that's why I love the pawn. I'm surprised that you pulled that up first. The pawn actually sets the tone for us. It sets the game for all of the other major pieces. They have to move out of the way so that the major pieces can move. So your parents, your mentors, your, you know, the people that you look up to, they have already done what you want to do.
I see.
And they set you up so that you can succeed. So yes, the challenges are going to be different, but they have helped you in order to be ready for the challenges that are you're going to face.
So, and I recognize, of course, that the analogy here, the metaphor itself, isn't intended to be point for point,
right?
But in cases where, as in my circumstance, the culture has shifted,
right?
And fathers are not expected to be as authoritarian in their approach. So I had to back away from what I had learned from my dad, which was entirely an authoritarian approach to parenting.
Right.
Why do I have to do this? Because I said so.
Right.
That was pretty much a standard operating procedure for him.
Right.
With my kids, it was like, well, so you said so.
Exactly. But my dad and I had a conversation about this. When I was growing up, he just said, do it. And I did it. But now the new kids, you say, well, do it. They'll ask you, next question is why? So they're going to challenge whatever it is that you have to say. I think it goes to, again, you understanding that the challenge is going to change.
And so
as well as you may not like the game that was played, like your father's experience is a great example. You say, hey, I love my dad, but the way he did things may not be the same way that I want to do it. But because you know that that's not a good way, you decide not to do that. If you did not know that the authoritative way was a great way of operating, would you still do it?
See, it worked for me.
That's right.
I mean, I thought that my dad in the main was a great dad. And there's never going to be a relationship in which everything is satisfying, of course. And so, no, he wasn't a perfect guide. But the point was, I came away from his efforts to be my dad, pretty much intact. What I then tried to do with my own kids was pretty much that same play, in your language, and they're like,
that's not going to work.
That's not going to work here. So you might say then that the rules of the game remain constant. And I love what you said, the fact that you're playing this opponent, and we'll say the opponent is life itself.
That's right.
Right? That's where the change occurs. And so the pawn still has the same move to make.
That's right.
One at a time. But when you move that, and why you moved that. That's where you have to pay attention.
That's right. That's right.
I got that right. Okay.
That's right.
Well, I feel better now.
There it is.
I do. Because
now you know how to address your kids. Well, or your kids' kids, because your kids' kids are going to be definitely different.
I've been feeling like I totally failed the four of them. You know what I mean? I heard one of them say the day, well, we're talking about having kids, but I have no earthly idea how to be a father. I'm like, well, now wait a minute.
Right.
How do you not know anything about fathering? What did I do wrong here? Folks, well, I'm enjoying this. I hope you are as well. And I'm getting a lot out of the whole chess for life, life for chess scenario. Courtesy of our guest, Francely Moise, this marvelous educator, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, this new book that he has now available for us. We're going to continue the conversation here if you'll stay with me.
We'll be right here.
We've got a little bit more to do. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't forget to check us out online at TallahasseeTalks.com. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you have just joined us, we've been having this conversation with Francely Moise about how it is that life comes at us with challenges, the changes that occur inevitably in life, how we accommodate those changes, and take into account the strategies that are to be applied. And so for you and I, Francely Moise, our guest, has said, look, it's not unlike playing the game of chess. It can be daunting. It can be mystifying. It can be anxiety laden, but you really can work through it if you will apply yourself. And so, Francely, you bring us this book. Do you have in mind other supplements to this work? You have other books in the making?
Okay. Yes. I'm actually working on the Chess for Life Part 2. My readers who have read it, they love it. And the next question is, I wanted more. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually adding more to Chess for Life. And I have a couple of other books that I'm getting ready to put on the market as well. There's a lot of lessons that I think we miss out, or for some reason have been put to the side, like having a positive attitude,
right,
or staying focused,
right,
or knowing what are you playing for. You know, our school system miss out on telling us, or telling our students, how to use those specific skills.
Yeah.
So if we can show them how to do that in a non-traditional way, then I think we can do some greater work. The question is, are we prepared for the next move?
Hmm.
Are we prepared for the next change?
Hmm.
And if we're not, we're just going to lose. And hopefully we can learn from the loss and then prepare our next generation so that they can be ready for the challenges that they must face.
What do school systems need to do to incorporate this kind of thinking from your point of view?
They need to make critical thinking a part of the process. So one of the things classes I teach at one of the local schools here, Rickards, James S. Rickards High School,
yeah, yeah,
want to shout them out.
Yeah, babe.
You know, you need to think about your future.
Huh.
You need to look ahead and think ahead.
Huh.
So our system needs to encourage that type of thinking and encourage that type of thought process.
Okay.
How can I be a difference? How can I create and not just fall in line?
Huh.
How can I be ready for the next step? Better yet, what is the next step? and chess I share with my students at Vaughn Elementary, another shout out, you have to think three moves ahead. So our school system, I'm not sure if they're really thinking three moves ahead. If they're not, then they're going to be missing pieces and losing pieces along the way.
So as a parent, going back to my selfish concerns for me.
Right.
Not proud of it, you know, just being honest.
That's all right.
So when my child says, you told me to do this, I want to know why, I might want to consider that a good thing. That's a good question, because not only am I being challenged to think critically,
right?
To not take this as a priori assumption. Well, we've always done it this way, right?
Right.
You know, we always have dinner at 5 o'clock. We always go to church on Easter Sunday. Why?
Right.
So not to take that as a threatening question, but an inquisitive,
that's right,
critical way of thinking about.
Right.
And if there is rationale that can be agreed to,
right.
Oh, I get it. That is a good thing to do.
That's right.
So be it. But if it is not that way, well, maybe there's another way.
That's right. And I think that's what we need to do, is discover new ways. Henry Ford has a quote. He says, thinking is the hardest thing to do. That's why many people don't do it. I think we just choose not to do it. And because we don't do it, we don't get a chance to discover new things, discover new processes, discover new ways to achieve our goals. Think about the great discovery people. People who've traveled into space, people who've gone into deep sea discovery, and how much they have found, how much they have learned. If we don't do those things, we won't find anything and we won't learn anything. So the question why helps us to do that. It helps us to discover, it helps us to question, and it helps us to find new ways and new things to do and things to think about.
I love your reference to Henry Ford, because I can easily apply this concept to my own life, where as the father who also happened to be the social scientist, the family life educator, I mean, I was all of those things, found it difficult to apply that in my own setting. Isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting.
Henry Ford, when returning from Europe, looked at this new vehicle that his son and his colleagues had created, and physically tore the doors off
of the
car.
That's right.
He said, we don't build cars like that here.
Right.
So this is the guy who was the amazing innovator.
That's right.
He got stuck.
That's right.
Yeah.
He stopped thinking.
He stopped
discovering.
And his son went out with his colleagues and formed a little company called Dodge.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But what did that do? It forced us to take the challenge. So I tell my students, don't take the negative in a bad way.
Okay.
Sometimes we need to take the negative and find a positive in it.
Right.
The funny thing, since we're talking about cars, we're always developing.
Yeah.
That same Model T, you don't see today.
Uh-uh.
They're not building Model T's. Now, they might be, bringing them back to life. But they're not building
DeVos
new ones.
I think got a few of them over there in his museum. Other than that, yeah.
That's right. So they're always enhancing, always bringing more, making it better. So essentially, that's what Chess for Life is about. Chess for Life is more of, how can I achieve more? How can I become better by one move or by 100 moves?
You talked earlier about identity and knowing your purpose in life. Again, familiar language for me. Do you see those as sequential in some fashion? Are they ordered? Does one have to come before the other? Or do they all happen simultaneously? I discover who I am by knowing my purpose.
I think they just sort of happen. It's almost like chess. They're already on the board. It's up to you to decide when it's going to be moved.
I got you.
So we already have the pieces in play.
I see.
And it's up to us to find our identity, find our purpose, not just find and use our identity, find and use our purpose, find and use our destination. One of my great mentors, Dr. Anderson, shares this all the time. And Dr. Naeem Akbar, another one, who really shared the concept of identity.
Okay.
Knowing self and why knowing self is so important.
Yeah.
When he shared that with me, I really pulled in and understood that, you know what, all these pieces are here.
Hmm.
It's up to us to use them.
Hmm.
Dr. Anderson shared that all these pieces are on the board, but they're all connected.
Hmm.
And they're all important. We can't put one over the other one.
I got you. The book is entitled Chess for Life, Life for Chess. Our guest this morning, the author, Francely Moyes, a local motivational speaker, entrepreneur, educator. A delight having you with us here today.
I enjoyed the process.
Thanks so much. Folks, that's what I've got for you today. We are the production of Alcom Media Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com, our online radio station. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.